It's already that time of the week again. Welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Round 3. I'm your host, Stephen Westway, and Round 3 shapes up to be one of the biggest rounds of the entire season. Starting on Thursday night, we've got the blockbuster grand final rematch between the Panthers and the Broncos, one of the biggest rivalries in Australian sport, in the Rabbitohs versus the Roosters on the Friday night, Manly versus Eels, another local derby on Sunday. So some blockbuster games, and there's teams that are sitting pretty after two rounds of this competition with two wins on the board, those teams being the Canberra Raiders, Cowboys, Cronulla, Manly and Melbourne. It might not be the perfect start, but in terms of victories, it is basically perfect. Those teams still all have plenty of improvement in them, but a positive start to the year and two crucial wins at this point of the season. On the other side of the coin, we've got teams still without a win. The West Tigers and the Gold Coast Titans have both had a bye in the opening two rounds each, but they both are without a win, and as are the Warriors, Newcastle, South Sydney, and the Bulldogs, who are all 0-2. So there's definitely teams under pressure heading into round three, teams that, you know, have want to really build on that successful start, and, you know, for the teams that haven't won a game, while they keep losing, the pressure and, you know, the outside noise is just going to keep growing. And there's some teams really feeling the pinch already, in particular the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs, as well as the Newcastle Knights. And we'll talk about all those shortly. But yeah, round two, very successful week for me on the show. 8 out of 8 footy tips, coming off a perfect round 2 weeks into the year. Can you start a season better? I think I'm on 12 tips out of 16 to start the year. Round one was a little bit rough for everybody, but I'm happy with it. Hoping to get another perfect round this week, and I hope you guys enjoy my footy tips this week. Before we get to them, before we recap round two, if you haven't, please go to Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. Press that like button to stay notified with all the latest updates on the future of the show. Share it, subscribe, follow it, whatever you guys want to do, just do it. Remember to like me. And to subscribe as well, wherever you guys listen to your favorite podcast, wherever it's Anchor, while I record this podcast through that app, great podcasting app for creators, so check that out. But Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the big platforms, Steve's NRL Footy Tips is on, and we're gearing up for another huge season in 2024. It's already started off successfully, and I hope you guys will join me on my journey for the rest of this season. But round two, no doubt it was, as I mentioned, a perfect round for myself, but a really good weekend of football, and it all started on Thursday night, and it seems like a long time ago now, especially considering all the drama at the South Sydney Rabbitohs, but they were under pressure heading into a big game at Suncorp Stadium against the Broncos. Both those teams have lost their round one Vegas games. It was the Broncos 28-18 winners over the Rabbitohs, and South Sydney had a lot of opportunities, but, you know, Brisbane never really felt like they were in any sort of danger. It was 12-0 at one point early in the second half, but Brisbane were in control, and another very disappointing performance by South Sydney. Cody Walker had a very quiet game. Latrell Mitchell struggled to really get involved until the dying moments, and the forward pack really failed to fire. Very disappointing. The discipline wasn't there for South Sydney. The handling rate wasn't there, and another poor showing defensively. So Demetrio's made some changes this week. Lachlan Lewis isn't in the side, which is big news. He has been dropped, with Dean Hawkins, the New South Wales Cup Player of the Year, getting his opportunity for South Sydney this week, so we'll cover that shortly. But another very disappointing performance for the Rabbitohs, considering you all know their potential when they're at their best, but you know, there's something very wrong at South Sydney at the moment, and we'll talk about that soon. But for the Broncos, I thought they were a little bit scrappy. Haven't really been impressed with their opening two rounds. We'll see how they go, because they are first the benchmark in the competition, the defending premiers Penrith, this Thursday night. But I did tip the Broncos right in that game. Friday night games, I tipped the Sharks right and Penrith right. The Sharks 25-6 winners over the Bulldogs. Penrith 26-18 winners over the Parramatta Eels. Now for the Cronulla Sharks, they didn't really have to get out of first gear too much against the Bulldogs. They were in complete control of the game. I thought that Nicho Hynes had a much improved performance from round one. Trindle complimented him well, and the forward pack got on a roll, and it was a really good performance for them to celebrate Dale Finucane's 300th game. For the Bulldogs, their woes continue. I have them as wooden spoon picks, and I can't say too much else about them. They were pretty poor throughout the entire game, both in attack and on defense. Their halves really can't get any momentum, and You know, I don't think Drew Hutchinson's genuine 7. I don't think Burton's a genuine 5-8. But they can't do much in a well-beaten forward pack. And that's what the Bulldogs had on the weekend. They have a couple of injury dramas as well. Their young prop getting knocked out in the first minute definitely didn't help them. And we'll see how they go this week for Cronulla. They're 2-2, so they move on to another big game this week against the West Tigers, who we'll get into in a moment. The other Friday night game, Penrith, as I mentioned, 26 over Parramatta, 18. The Panthers, after not scoring a point in round one, the Storm's defence was really staunch in that game. They proved that they're going to be, pretty much the Penrith that we've seen over the last 3 to 4 years. They were fantastic. Outside backs did a lot of work. Taruva got a double. Toe was really impressive. A lot of meters. Dylan Edwards was always scheming. And their forward pack really stepped up and took it to Parramatta in a good battle. I thought Parramatta held their own in the game. And, while at the end of the day, they couldn't really trouble Penrith, they did manage to keep it close. And, I think it's improved signs considering at this point of the year, last year, the Eels were 0-2 and they couldn't really recover from their poor start. I think that the effort was there on Friday night, and I think that Dylan Brown was really good, Sean Lane was good, and Bryce Carter was outstanding again. So if you're an Eels fan, I think that 2024 could be a much improved year, no doubt about it. The Super Saturday games, we saw the Raiders defeat the Tigers 32-12 at GIO Stadium there in Canberra at 3 p.m. The Raiders were impressive again. They did let a couple soft tries in before halftime, but a pretty clinical performance from them, what you expect at Canberra. The young players stepped up again. I thought Strange was outstanding, as was Zach Hosking for the Tigers. Very disappointing start of the year. The discipline wasn't there. They didn't hang on to the football. And Jaden Sullivan really failed to make an impression in the halves. I thought Lachlan Gowan was really good in his debut, but I think they looked a lot better when they put Aiden Caesar in the halves, and this week he'll line up with Gowan. So we'll see how they go in their second run out of the year, but plenty of improvement needed from Benji Marshall's troops if they're going to be any sort of improvement on 2023's effort for the Tigers. Unfortunately, very disappointing for all their fans. The second game, 21-20, the Cowboys beat the Knights. The Knights were in control for the majority of this football game. I think they were up, 20-6 at one point. Cowboys had a late rally, end up scoring through Dearden, and then Nenai with 4 minutes left went over, and the cool, calm composure of Chad Townsend got them home. Newcastle were up for it, there's no doubt about it, and they went to ambush the Cowboys up there at Townsville, but because of the loss, they've rung the changes in this week, and the Cowboys, escaped with one. I don't think they played their best football, but they'll be happy with 2 out of 2, and big question marks about Newcastle and whether they can do what they did last year and really make a run at the back end of this season and, get back to that electric form that saw Caelan Ponga win the Dally M last year. At the 7:30 game, one of the best games that I think we'll see this year was the Melbourne Storm defeating the Warriors 30-26, and the Storm, even without Cameron Munster, who's still out with that groin injury, they started off fast. They got to an 18-6 lead, and I thought they were really going to go on with the job, but to the Warriors' credit, they fought in. Daniel Teen to Lesniak got 2 tries, and they really established a big 26-18 lead with 3 minutes left. Unfortunately, Ryan Papahausen scored from an incredible inside pass that reminded us of Slater, Smith and Kronk back in the day from Katoa. Fuse Katoa, then Papahausen. And they scored, they made it a 2-point game, and then Xavier Coates, with 15 seconds left, in my opinion, scored what will be the try of the year. It was outstanding stuff. It was a Superman dive that saw him get over. He was out of room. I don't know how he got the board down, and one of the greatest finishes you've ever seen, a regular season game, 30-26, the Storm beat the Warriors. At that point, I was 6 out of 6 in my tips. The Sunday games, Manly beat the Roosters 21-14, and I thought Manly were impressive again. They actually blew a lot of opportunities. They had a lot of football on the Roosters' line. The Roosters seemed exhausted from all the defence they had to do and the poor handling and completion rate that they had. But the Manly Seagulls, while they kind of failed to put the Roosters to the sword, I thought they were impressive again. I think that Cherry Evans and Brooks are getting better work with each other every time they get a chance to out in that field in the opening 2 rounds in the trials. And then the forward pack, I think, really stood up. Olakuatu was really good. May suffered an injury there, unfortunately, but he looked impressive again. I thought the Turbo brothers in the forward pack were really good, and Lachlan Croker tore it away. So it was a really good performance by Manly. Not spectacular, but they'll be happy to be 2 out of 2 at this point in the year. And for the Roosters, it was a little bit disappointing, and they've got a huge game against the Rabbitohs in Hargraves' 300th game this weekend. The last game of the round. Well, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I appraised how good the Dragons' effort was in round one, where they defeated the Titans pretty easily, 28-4. But this week it was the Dolphins, 38-0. The Dolphins needed a response after their poor round one showing. They got it. They were much improved, and I thought the halves in Katoa and Nikarima performed the game, controlled the game well, while their forward really laid that early platform. I thought the likes of Flegler and some of the other leaders in Felice Kafusi, really impressive. Marshall King was scheming at a dummy half as always, but for the Dragons, all the effort and all the improvement we saw out of one, it almost in round one almost looked like it was evaporated overnight. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they read into their one good performance, but they looked all but the team that took the field round one. It was a horrible performance. They went completely backwards, and we'll see, you know, where they go from here. But Shane Flanagan's a lot of questions to answer, and we'll get into the Dragons more in my round three preview. They've got a big game against the Cowboys this week. So overall, it was 8 out of 8 of my footy tips. Really impressed with it, and hoping to get a second perfect round in a row. There's been some massive team list news. I mean, the Knights have dropped Jackson Hastings, the Rabbitohs have dropped Lachlan Ilias, so not a good week to be an incumbent half. There's some other big changes in the team list as well, with some injury dramas. But yeah, it looks to be another exciting weekend of football, and it all starts off on Thursday night with a huge grand final rematch. Let's get in to the round three action with my previews this week. What bigger way is there to start the round than at Bluebet Stadium, Thursday night, 8 p.m. It's the rematch of the 2023 grand final. You know the grand final. Everyone knows it's the grand final. It's the grand final that Penrith had the biggest comeback of all time in, and managed to beat the Broncos by scoring 3 tries in the last 15 minutes. It's that grand final, and the Broncos, they're going to be out for a big challenge, because versus Penrith at Bluebet, almost impossible to beat them there. Not many teams have been able to do it over the last 4 to 5 years. Penrith showed last week that they're still the premiership favourites by a long margin. It was a really impressive victory over Parramatta. And, you know, they'll be looking to build on their first win of the year. There's no doubt about it. I haven't been too impressed by what I've seen from the Brisbane Broncos. They lost a bit of a dour affair over there in Vegas in round 1, 20-10. It was a low-scoring one. Good defence by them, but they lacked a bit of class in attack, I thought. And then in round 2 against the Rabbitohs, I thought it was an off night for both sides. The Rabbitohs, obviously, they were disappointing. We'll talk about them soon. But the Broncos, their attack was still a little bit clunky. They let in some soft tries from the Rabbitohs just after halftime to let them back in the game. And it just doesn't seem to be fully in sync at the moment for them. So they get a real big test this week to see exactly where they are in the whole scheme of the competition at the moment in the early seasons. There's talk throughout the week that Tevita Pengai Jr. could be signing with them at some point this year, but I think their forward pack has been lacking a little bit this year with the loss of Capewell and Flegler. I'd like them to step up. Huss is doing all he can, but I'd like to see big performances out of the likes of Ricky and Pecora, definitely the back rowers. I think they need to have more of an impact in the game, and the Broncos for this game, unfortunately, they're without Adam Reynolds. Now, Ezra Mann apparently was in a little bit of doubt. He looks like he will play, but Jock Madden and Ezra Mann will be the partnership. So it's a big ask for Madden to come in. And he's done it before. He's done it successfully. But come in for the grand final rematch, the Broncos and all those players that were a part of that 2023 grand final will be looking to give it back to Penrith and to try to, you know, release some of that, you know, frustration from going down to the grand final on Thursday night. But, you know, from what I see from Penrith, especially at Bluebet, it's all class. And they're going to be a really hard team to beat again this year in general. And the Storm were fantastic in defence and their tenacity in defence and, you know, their ability to keep turning up for each other defensively in round one. And that's what every team has to do to beat Penrith. They're a well-oiled machine. Luai escaped suspension, so him and Cleary will be in the halves again. I thought Luai probably should have sat down for a week or two after the Simonson incident in the Eels game last week. But no Fisher-Harris is a loss. There's no doubt about that. Leota's going to get more minutes, though. Lindsay Smith starting. I think Liam Henry's been impressive with his limited minutes off the bench. And obviously Yeo and Martin Lee, the forward pack, like they always do. So, yeah, I think they're just at Bluebet Stadium in 2024, it's almost impossible to tip against Penrith. And from what I've seen from the Broncos, they've definitely got some improvement in them. I think that You know, the likes of Man and Walsh, they need to be a little bit more consistent, especially if their leader, Adam Reynolds, out of this game. But they can't do that if their forward pack doesn't step up. And we know Penrith will be ready for it. So the Broncos, I think they'll go into this mentality to try to get the Penrith forward pack off their game early and really get off to a hot start. I just think it's going to be hard to stop that momentum from Penrith, especially if they can get an even share of footy early. I think that they're going to be a little bit too strong for the Broncos up front, and I think that's been an issue for them the first 2 weeks. And even in the South Sydney game, I don't think they really, you know, put South to the sword in the forwards as much as I thought they should have, considering how low on confidence and, you know, how down South Sydney are at the moment. I expected Brisbane to really go on with that game last week, but it wasn't a B. So yeah, I think Penrith will be too strong here on Thursday night in front of their home crowd. Unfortunately for the Broncos fans, they're going to have those painful memories of the 2023 grand final. But I think the Penrith Panthers are big winners on Thursday night, especially about Adam Reynolds. I got the Panthers by 16. I think that you know, they can really get the Broncos through the middle of the field. Some of their edge defense is questionable, and I just think they got too many points in the tank for them. I just don't know where Brisbane are going to score, especially against this Penrith defence and without their inspirational leader and captain in Adam Reynolds. So I've got Penrith by 16 in this one, and my bet of the week for this one, as I continue this for the third week, I don't know how much success I've had in the first 2 weeks, but in this game in particular, I like Nathan Cleary anytime try scorer. I think, you know, late in last week against Parra, he was scheming, looking for a way through the line. I think he crosses this week. I think that he's always looking for an opportunity and some tired Broncos defenders. I think he can take advantage, just like he did even in the grand final last year, to win the game for Penrith. So big game to start the round up there, blue bet, but I've got Penrith being too strong for Brisbane. A big night of Friday Night Football starts at 6 p.m. from Apollo's, if I'm getting this right, Apollo Projects Stadium over there in Christchurch, as the New Zealand Warriors take on the Canberra Raiders. Now, the Warriors, they have had a win to start 2024, and they should be a little bit disappointed in that. They, for intents and purposes, had the Storm beaten. If it wasn't for two tries in the last 3 minutes, they were really impressive in round two for me. They fought hard after being 18-6 down early against the Storm, but the Storm just found a way to win, and unfortunately for the Warriors, they couldn't hold on. They had tired bodies, which, you know, their forward pack can get tired a little bit easier because they've just got such a big forward pack. But I thought there was definitely improvement in the entire performance in round two. Their opponents on a bit of a hot streak at the moment. Canberra Raiders, they're 2-2. They're looking really impressive. They had a dominant win over the Tigers in round two. It was a really good win in round one, an upset win over the Knights. So they're full of confidence at the moment. And I really like the addition of Ethan Strange with Jamil Fogarty. I think that he brings, you know, a bit of explosiveness and an X factor to the team that Canberra have been missing in recent years. He's a really good defender, and he just seems up to the task of the NRL. I think Hoskins has been a revelation. Charles Morgan Smithy's in the forward pack, and given, you know, Papalihi and Tarpanaya a new sense of energy, that they can rely on some of these guys, these younger players with a lot of energy in the side this to help them out and carry that load. But they do get Elliot Whitehead back this week, so Hoskins reverts to the bench. I know that's made a lot of super coaches upset. But yeah, I mean, they're playing a good football. They're playing a simple game of football, completing their sets, putting their kicks in. There is no Sebastian Chris this week. Of course, he's out due to a HIA. But overall, a lot of positive signs early for Canberra. And if they can keep that effort that we've seen in the first 2 weeks, then I don't think any team will be beating them easily. But the Warriors, after 2 weeks, that they probably should have two wins. I think they'll be desperate in this one. I think they'll be up for the task over there in Christchurch. And you know, I think Johnson hasn't had the best first two games. I think the forward pack have laid a good platform, and I think they really, you know, despite being blown off the park early, really took it to the Storm in the second half of last week. Fanua Blake, Barnett, both impressive at the start of the season. I'd like to see a little bit more from the second rollers. I don't think Ford and Capewell and Nakore hasn't been on the field really this year yet. I don't think, you know, those second rollers have had the impact they've desired, really. So I want to see them get a little bit more involved, but they're an exciting team to watch, the New Zealand Warriors. I mean, how good is it seeing RTS get back to his best form? I think that with Team Zalesniak is just a superstar, and his two tries were amazing last week. And Tua Picky, I think, done a really good job in Charles Nicholson's absence. So I think the Warriors are due for a win. I think they'll be up for this game in front of their home crowd. They started the game off early 2 weeks ago really well. against the Sharks, leading 12-0. I think they've learnt some lessons from that opening round, and I think they'll be better this week for the first two runs that they've had of the season, the regular season. So, yeah, I think they're due for a win, and I think Canberra have been up for two big games for them. It's always hard to travel overseas to New Zealand and be up that entire time, especially coming off a couple wins. The Warriors will be desperate. They'll be out to play their best football in front of their home fans, and I think they'll do that over there in Christchurch. So I've got the Warriors by 10 points. I think that, you know, despite the fact that they've lost two games, their first two games to start the season, I think they've been the most impressive out of the teams we've had a win so far this year. So the Warriors by 10 against the Canberra Raiders, and I think I'm just going to continue the goodwill that he got last week and go Dallin Ortiz to Lesniak, two or more tries. I think you can get about $5 for that. So jump on if you feel like a punt in this one on a DWZ, two or more tries. All right, make sure you get the time right. It's 8 p.m. Make sure you're in front of a TV or at Allianz Stadium, because it is the biggest rivalry, apart from State of Origin, in rugby league. It's been going for 115 years plus now. It's the Roosters, the Sydney Roosters versus the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Allianz Stadium at 8 p.m. on Friday night. Now, the Roosters, they head into this game without their veteran playmaker in Luke Keary. Unfortunately, he has suffered another head injury, a concussion, HIA, that will see him not take his place in the Roosters 17 this week. I wish him all the best. Hope he can manage to get back on the field sooner than later. He has had a great career, and hopefully he can finish it the way that he wants, and that means he's got to stop getting these head injuries. Unfortunately, there's nothing you can do. It's part of the game, but we wish all the best to Luke Keary. The Roosters, I thought, were a little bit exhausted and tired. It was a tired performance against Manly when they went down 21-14 on Sunday afternoon. Their completion rate wasn't great. They held on pretty well defensively, but their attack was clunky, and they found themselves parked in their own half of the field for the majority of that game. So it was a bit of an off performance for the Roosters, especially considering they were really impressive against the Broncos in Vegas, where the lights were brightest in round one. But yeah, it's hard to get a gauge on them based on their opening two games of the year. James Tedesco's form, absolutely outstanding at the start of the year. Manu's been really good for them. Santa Smith's going to partner Sam Walker in the halves this week, so it's a little bit of a less experienced halves combination. Santa Smith's been really good wherever he's slotted in the side over the past 12 months. But yeah, in terms of scoring points, it's going to be difficult, and you've got to expect that Manu and Tedesco are going to have to come in and look for work and help control the flow of the game, same as the Chiefs. Brendan Smith had a dummy half, who's also had a good start to the year. But they are in a much better spot at the moment than their opponents on Friday night. The South Sydney Rabbitohs, who are an absolute basket case at the moment, they're 0-2 to start their year, and it's the same old problems for South Sydney. Their defence is atrocious. They cannot maintain any pressure on their goal line, and as a South Sydney supporter, it pisses me off. They are weak mentally weak football team. They aren't committed to do the hard work, those one percenters that you need to win football games. Cam Murray's trying his ass off out there, while you've got some other footballers that I'm wondering how they're making first grade each and every week. You know, Cody Walker, he's had a magnificent career. He has had a terrible fortnight to start the year. He needs to show something this week. I think Latrell Mitchell's been really good, but last week he struggled to get in the game until it was too late. There's no point scoring a 70-meter try when the game's over. You need to be involved in the football game. You need to be a factor if the Rabbitohs are going to be winning football games. You are the X factor of the side. The forward pack has been so disappointing outside of Murray. There's been constant changes. The likes of Tola, Kalamatangi, they're not even looking like half the players they were over the last couple of years. It's been a very disappointing back end of last year and now start this year. Tom Burgess has been off, and I'm a huge fan of Tom Burgess and the impact he brings to a game. But the forwards are getting no momentum, and they almost look like they're in slow motion, the Rabbitohs. So there's got to be a response this week. Jason Demetrio knows he's under pressure. He knows that the criticism that Sam Burgess gave the club, you know, 8 to 9 months ago when he departed the club to go coach Warrington in that disastrous end of the year for Souths, has been justified. At the preferential treatment to Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker and to other players, I've seen no evidence to suggest otherwise. They are at a crossroads as a club. They don't have an identity at the moment. And is Jason Demetrio really going to be the long-term coach of the club. They need results. They need results if he's going to save his job. He knows that. He's made the changes this week. Obviously, Jack Wyden returns from suspension and will make his Rabbitohs debut. A massive in for South Sydney. The defence that he'll bring on the outside edges that have struggled so far this year, it should improve tenfold, but it's an attitude problem at South, right? And dropping Lachlan Ilias, your halfback, which Demetrio has done this week, he's a kid. He's still learning the game. He shouldn't be the veteran playmaker that has to do a lot of the general kicking. It should fall on Cody Walker. I know he's a run-first player, Cody Walker, and he's a momentum-based player. But if you're off, the whole team's off when you're the veteran playmaker. So, you know, I don't think Ilias was playing good football, but he wasn't getting any help around him either. His forward pack was struggling. His other half partner barely had an impact in the game in the past 2 weeks, and at least you can tell when you watch Lachlan Ilias play, the effort's there. Now, Dean Hawkins, New South Wales Cup Player of the Year, I think he will do a tremendous job in the side, but it is not good enough for a foundation club like South Sydney that, you know, have had a history of success, apart from, you know, some tough times in the 90s when they came back in the comp. You expect results, and at the moment, the club's not getting a result. They need a huge performance this week, and they usually step up against the Sydney Roosters, and they're versing the Sydney Roosters this week that don't have two veteran halves in there. You've got Dean Hawkins, who we've seen how good he can be in the lower grade. You've got Cody Walker. That left-hand side this week for the Rabbitohs, you've got Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell, Keon Kalomatangi, Jack Wyden, and Alex Johnston. If you can't get points out of that side, I don't know when you're going to be able to get points, when you're going to be able to create, especially Cody Walker. He needs a huge week this week for mine, or I'd honestly be dropping him back to reserve grade. He's been a great player, but he needs to step up when the club needs him the most. And defensively, the whole mindset has to be better. I mean, look at the Melbourne Storm against the Penrith Panthers 2 weeks ago. Look at how the Panthers line up their defence. That's what South Sydney need to aspire for. You can't be clocking off through games. You can't be afraid to do the dirty work. You've got to hang on to the football. You've got to complete your sets. It's not a complicated game, rugby league. You've got to do the little things right before you can do the fancy stuff and you know, create the try-scoring opportunities. If you can't do that, you're not in the game. And South Sydney aren't in the game to start this year. They had a massive performance this week. It's Hardgrave's 300th game. Huge occasion for the Roosters. You'd think they'd be up in front of a home crowd against their arch rivals. The Rabbitohs need to match that energy like they've done in the past. I think Hawkins is a good addition to the game. He needs to control the game and manage the game, which Ilias has been unable to do, but he needs his forward pack to help him out. So I think Hawkins could have a huge impact on unlocking Cody Walker, but the forward pack, it starts with them. They need to be able to do their job, and the kicking game needs to be good, and, you know, their X factors like Walker and Latrell, they need to stamp their imprint into the game. If they don't, South Sydney are no chance. But I think they can do it. I think maybe it's my South Sydney bias, but I think they're due for a big performance. Their backs are against the wall. They've got all the noise out there. I think we see the best of South Sydney this week. And I've got South Sydney by 6. If we don't, though, man, I don't know how Jason Demetrio lasts the month, honestly. If South Sydney do not have an improved performance, they don't necessarily have to win the game, but they have to be extremely competitive. And if they don't, I think we should see wholesale changes next week. They've got the Bulldogs next week, an easier game on paper anyway, but there is no excuses for not performing this weekend for South Sydney. So I've got the Rabbitohs by 6 points. The Roosters will be tough to beat. But yeah, there is no easy games in the NRL in 2024, so they need to be up for it. There's no doubt about it, South Sydney. Super Saturday kickstarts at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. And by the way, before I get to this game, my special of the Rabbitohs Roosters, Jack Wyden to score a try any time in his Rabbitohs debut. I think he makes a huge difference to this football team. But 3 p.m. from Belmore Sports Ground, it is the Canterbury Bulldogs versus the Gold Coast Titans. And all I can say heading into this game is, God, I hope the Gold Coast Titans are better than they were in the first round against St. George Yellow Dragons, because they were abysmal. The Bulldogs are my least favourite team to watch. I think they've got plenty of talent across the park, and they just keep under-delivering. They've got a squad that I've got no idea how they decide who plays in what decision. They are a mess at the moment in both attack and defence, and this is shaping up to be a game that if you're going to miss one this week, I'd be missing this one, honestly. I think it's going to be a car crash game. I think it's going to be some of the worst football you'll see this year. Dez Hasler, I hope he took the bye to really, you know, to really whip these Titans boys into shape, because they were not up for it against the Dragons. They were abysmal. Now, I know they were without Fifita, Campbell, and Foran, and Foran's back this week. They're still without Fifita and Campbell. There is no excuse for the forwards that they dished up. Again, I just mentioned it, the Rabbitohs, rugby league's a simple game. You got to hang on to the ball, you got to complete your sets, and you got to create opportunities and defend your line with commitment and, you know, and have that effort factor there, and the Titans weren't in round one. It's as simple as that. There's a lot of expectations over the Titans over the next couple of years with Des Hasler, and, you know, you'd like to put it down to a, you know, just an off week to start the year for them, but Boyd and Weaver in the halves, they failed to control anything, and they had their opportunities, the Titans, but it was just, they didn't look like firing a shot, honestly. So you got to hope that Foran can completely revitalise this attack. Defensively, they need to be better. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think they can score points with the best of them when they're on the Titans. And I think Foran can really unlock that. Boyd needs to step up. I said it 2 weeks ago. I'll say it now. He has yet to prove that he's an NRL halfback for me. And with a lot of other halfbacks under pressure, I think the pressure should start being put on Tanner Boyd to secure that spot. Keeney, exciting young player. Cam Pereira, really exciting. They've got the talent across the board to score points, but you need to be able to get the football to them. And hopefully Foran can unlock that for the Titans like he has done in the past. But yeah, the Bulldogs, I don't even know what to say about them. I don't see them being up for many games, but this one in front of Belmore, in front of a home crowd, they will be up for. So the Titans are going to have to be on their guard. I mean, you look at the talent, there's no doubt that the Bulldogs have got points in them, but, you know, it needs to be a much bigger improvement than the games we've seen the last 2 years, last 2 weeks, the last 10 years, really, at the club. So, yeah, I've got the Titans in this one by 10 points. I think they bounced back after a disappointing first week, and honestly, I just don't see any positives in the Canterbury Bulldogs at the moment. I think they've got a long way to go to be competitive in this competition, and I think it's going to be an extremely long season for their supporters, unfortunately. My special for this one, Cam Pereira, first try scorer. I went in their first game. He scored the first team try scorer for the Titans. I think he can get the first try of the game in this one. He'll be about $8 or $9. That's my pick of the week in this game. So you know what, guys? I'm getting through these games, and I'm looking at the rest of the games for round three, and Super Saturday, it's my favourite time of the week. I mean, last week was amazing. I'm not too impressed by what I'm seeing on paper in these three games here, and this might actually be the standout game of the day. It's the St. George Illawarra Dragons versus the North Queensland Cowboys from Nostrada Jubilee Stadium. Now, the Dragons, where do we even start? Round one, you had all the effort. Now, the execution wasn't perfect in the game. The Titans were awful in that round one game, but the Dragons had, you know, the effort there. Defensively, they really stood up for each other, and they were an exciting team to watch. Their attack looked fluid. It looked like, you know, Flanagan really got the players fit in the off-season. We saw none of that in round two against the Dolphins. It was a shambles. It was an absolutely abysmal performance that, you know, looked like the Dragons at the absolute worst we've seen them over the last 3 years. They weren't in their contest. They didn't aim up physically. They were okay in the second 20 of the first half, where they, you know, held the Dolphins at bay, but the attack looked more 2024 Charity Shield than it looked around one. They struggled to get any kind of cohesion, and it was all very one-out, predictable football, predictable rugby league. And then, you know, in the defensive side, it was just, we didn't see any of the effort that got them that win in round one. So, without a doubt, Flanagan's got his work cut out for it, and there's no doubt about it. You know, you can sign all the players that you want to, and, you know, change the squad and change positions all you want to, but it's really about the culture at the club and getting everybody on the same page. If they all believe in the message, and if they're all going to play, it's a little bit like South Sydney at the moment. If they're not committed to doing those 1% and the effort plays, they're never going to be successful as a rugby league club. It's as simple as that. And, you know, the Dragons, and unfortunately for the fans, they've been suffering for a long time. And I think it's going to be a real weekend proposition to the games that they'll be up for in 2024, the Dragons. I think that, you know, on their best, they can beat a lot of good football sides, honestly. But, you know, the difference between their absolute best and their absolute worst is huge. And, you know, at round one, despite the fact they were playing, you know, ordinary opposition, and they showed how good they can be. And, you know, they've got to find that back again, and you know, they've got to want it, and you know, he's made changes this week, Flanagan, changed the forward pack around a little bit. Unfortunately, Little's out, I believe he suffered, might have been a head knock last week, but yeah, I mean, their opponents, the Cowboys, they're 2-from-2, they're playing a exciting brand of football. I think they were off their game against the Knights in round two, but we know how many points they can pile on. They're not a team that traditionally travels well, the Cowboys, however. So, you know, if the Dragons can start well in this game, I think they can be in the contest and potentially cause an upset. But based on what we saw in round two, it's hard to get behind that. The Cowboys, I think Tom Dearden is really becoming a leader at the club and really lifting this side with him. And, you know, his first two games, he's already made an immediate impact there. Unfortunately, the Cowboys lost Keelan Lukey, but I thought their forward pack did name up as well as they did in round one last week. Menai and Fuiaki are the new second row combination. McLean and Tavolo, they're not having the usual impact that they've had in recent years. And Tavolo, though, we know we've talked about that in enough detail, so a lot of other people, the struggles that he's having in terms of game time and having an impact on the game at the moment, and the fact that he can't really train because he's got no real cartilage in his knees. So he's at the back end of his days, there's no doubt about that, and I think he's got still a few years to run these contracts, so they've got to figure that out. But you know, at their best, they're an exciting football team, the Cowboys. They've got to be able to match the best teams physically. And, you know, the Dragons' forward pack, they're a bigger forward pack. They were like turnstiles last week, so we'll see who can win that forward battle and get the early momentum in this game. But assuming the Cowboys can get on top of the Dragons in that department, they should have too many points for the Dragons to really contend with. They've got an exciting outside backs. And, yeah, I think the Cowboys will be winning this one pretty handily. I've got the Cowboys by 24, and I think that the 13-plus option, I think you put as much as you can on that in terms of my bet of the week. I think it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a real struggle for the Dragons some weeks, and some weeks they'll be up for the contest, but I don't think this will be one of them, unfortunately, for Dragons fans. The final game of Super Saturday starts at Leichhardt Oval at 7:35 p.m. when the West Tigers host the Cronulla Sharks, and a little bit like teams we've talked about today, the Tigers have not had a good start of the year. Their first hit out was last week at GIO against the Raiders on a Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. And they, I don't know why I'm mentioning the time of the whole matchup, but the point is that they were very disappointing. And Lachlan Gowden, the 18-year-old, I thought he held his own pretty well. Sullivan really struggled to put his imprint in the game, and I thought the forward pack, despite the fact that they've got some real representative experience in there, and they have for years, players like Clemmer and Bateman and Papalihi, I think they really struggled, and their completion rate wasn't good. Their defence was awful throughout the game, and the Raiders piled on the points. I think it's going to be another long season for them. Benji Marshall's got his work cut out for him, and yeah, we've talked about some poor teams today, but don't get me wrong, the Tigers are still up there, and they're still a long way away from being competitive in this competition. I think the gap this year between the really big contenders, the contenders that can go all the way, and the lower teams is massive at the moment. And, you know, the Sharks, to their credit, I didn't have them in the top 8 to start my year, but, you know, they haven't versed, you know, too many, you know, well, actually, the Warriors round one, they were down 12-0, and they really showed some tenacity to get back in that game. And I do rate the Warriors. Last week, they had it a bit easier against the Bulldogs, but they've started the year off pretty well. They're really settled out fit. Nico Hines played some really good football. I think him and Trindle's partnership's improving each week. Blake Brayley, I think, is one of the most underrated nines in the competition. And, you know, they're exciting football with Talakai and Renato Mulitalo and Kennedy. They can score points. They're a gritty team. They can really defend teams out of the game as well when they're on their best, and when they're at their best. And honestly, I just think that this game is a non-event. Honestly, the Tigers have to show me something before I can believe in them at all. And you know, Caesar and Gowden this week I think in the halves will go a lot better than Gowden and Sullivan did last week, but I think they're a long way off from winning football teams against teams that are only half contenders like the Sharks. Honestly, I think that, you know, you'd hope for the best of the Tigers in front of their home crowd the first time this season, but honestly, I think the Sharks will be way too good in this game, and I've got the Sharks by 30 against the West Tigers to end Super Saturday. And your Sunday afternoon of football starts at 4 p.m. from CommBank Stadium when the Parramatta Eels take on the Manly Seagulls. And this is a game I'm really excited for this week. I think that Parramatta are really up for it against Penrith, and they were really in the contest last week, and I really like the effort plays that I saw from them. They can score some points when they have the football in hand, and, you know, Penrith really had to work for that victory, and, you know, I think it's a promising start of the year for Parramatta, I really do, considering at this point last year they were 0-2 after two tough losses, and, you know, their poor start in the first month last year ultimately cost them a final spot. I think that, you know, it's good signs for Parramatta fans this year that they can hopefully get back to the top eight. I think that, you know, in front of their home crowd at CommBank, that Manly this week have got some defensive deficiencies that they're going to have to sort out that are going to be targets for Parramatta. Manly, on the other hand, though, 2-2 to start the year, playing a really enterprising brand of football, not afraid to shift it early in the tackle count, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from them. I think that their execution was a little bit off last week, and you know, the Roosters, you know, they looked exhausted near the back end of their game, so credit to Manly there, but they had so many attacking opportunities on the Roosters' line and couldn't finish it off. You know, and obviously that's a part of that is, you know, Luke Brooks and Cherry Evans and Tom Zurovich, they're all still trying to get used to playing with the new partnership, with Brooks being there, and that's going to take a little bit of time. Tommy's getting more confident, you know, in his body every game, and just happy to be playing consistent football at the moment. So I think as the weeks go on, they'll get more fluid in attack, and we could see some really exciting football, which we already are from Manly. But I think their forward pack's been good the last couple of weeks, but defensively, I don't think the Roosters put them under too much pressure, and unfortunately this week, in round one, they lost Jason Saab, and they've got another injury to Tommy Talia last week in the outside back. So Vega and Paulo, they're definitely two targets that I think that Mitchell Moses can really expose if he's kicking games on point. Same as the Eels, they've got Talai out in the centres, young player making his debut while Morgan Harper shifts to the wing. So whichever playmaker, whether it's Cherry Evans or Moses, can make the most of it. I think there's definitely points that could be scored in this game. I think Moses and Brown, you know, if their execution's up for it, I think they can have a real field day. And you know, Manly, they didn't really get challenged too much against the Roosters defensively last week, and they did leak some points in Vegas against South Sydney. So, you know, I think Seaboyd and the whole Manly side, they've got to really concentrate on defence because their attack is firing at the moment. So, and they're going to be able to score points. Obviously, as I said, the execution is not perfect, but all the foundations are in place in attack. It's the defence that worries me a little bit for the Manly side, but I think they can go a long way in this competition if they can get it right. You know, they're one of the most exciting teams in the competition to watch at the moment. So I expect a big crowd at CommBank, probably be sold out or close to in this local derby between Manly and Para, old rivals. I think Parramatta are up for it. I think they will be up for it. I think they managed to get the win because of those defensive deficiencies that I mentioned for Manly. And, you know, it's just a fury on my behalf. But I think that there's some real targets for Moses if he's kicking games on point. And yeah, Parramatta just will be too strong on this one, and take nothing away from Manly. I think this is going to be perhaps the best game of the weekend. I'm really excited for it. But yeah, I've got Parramatta by 6 points, and you know, because of those outside back targets there for Manly, I'm actually going to go Sean Russell to score two tries for my out there bet of the week. So yeah, exciting times. I'm looking forward to watching this one after a Super Saturday that might not be up to par, considering how good the football was for Super Saturday last weekend. And in the final game of the round, from Newcastle, McDonald Jones Stadium, it's the Newcastle Knights versus the Melbourne Storm. Now, the big story coming out of today is that Jackson Hastings has been dropped from the Newcastle Knights side, reportedly, and I don't know if this is true or not, but Fox Sports is reporting it, that he got an option to train with the reserve grade side, and, you know, said no and went home immediately. So yeah, there's definitely some dramas at the club at the moment, but Jack Cogger is in the number 7 jersey, and I've actually been calling this. I think Cogger's the most naturally gifted half at the club, and no offence to Hastings, I think he's done a really good job at leading the side around the last couple of years, and, you know, he's a very safe option at halfback. He can lead the side around, but, you know, you'd like to see him take the line on a little bit more, and I'm sure he can get back into the Newcastle first grade side, but whether it's as a 13 or a 7, I think that, you know, there needs to be, he's a great game manager. I think that at those moments where you need him to step up, he needs to really take the game by the scruff of the neck, and I don't think he's been able to do that to start the year. And, you know, it is harsh. It's only been 2 games. Newcastle haven't been their best. they were up for the fight last week against the Cowboys, but I think Cogger definitely adds some new dimensions to the attack. I think he'll help unlock Ponga, who's been a little bit quiet to start the year. And, you know, after that magnificent end of the year last year where everything was working, it was all in sync, and they wanted that incredible run, you know, fans should feel like they've been let down by the start of the year. They should want results on the back of that. They know what this side's capable of, and we'll see if they can get the best out of it. I think it's a real opportunity this week, and they're actually favourites heading to this game against the Melbourne Storm, who, without Jerome Hughes, who took the one-week suspension, Nelson is over Solomon out and is still out, and obviously Cameron Munster is still out too with that groin injury. So, you know, young Haas combination, Jonah Pezzett and Tyron Wishart. I think that Pezzett's been good in first grade this year, and Wishart's definitely making the most of his opportunities. But I think this week, if you're the Melbourne Storm, it all falls on the back of Papahausen and, you know, him and Harry Grant really leading this attack. Harry Grant, you know, since becoming captain of the club, he's been toiling away, but I think they've got to do a really good job controlling this game, helping out the young halves, and you're really stamping the impact in this game. Now, the Knights' defence has been questionable at the best of times. Even when they went on that great run, they were leaking points. So I think that the Storm may be able to expose them. They're a quicker football team than Newcastle, in my opinion. Melbourne, they, you know, are really up at this point of the year. So I think we're in for a real contest to end the round, I honestly do. And, you know, you'd love to see a response from the Newcastle, considering, you know, they had the game in the bag last week. They just couldn't finish it off. And, you know, if they keep losing games, the more the pressure is going to be put on them. But, yeah, I think Cogger definitely will make the attack more fluid. Whether Gamble's the long-term six option, still to be determined. I'm not convinced there, personally. But, yeah, it obviously, defensively, they need to be better. Their attack looked so formulaic and one-dimensional. So I think they'll be improved this week, but I think Melbourne will be equally up for the challenge. If you guys listen to my preseason predictions, Melbourne are my premiership pick, and a lot of that is off the spine. And when they're missing two members of the spine, they may look a little bit vulnerable. But I really like the effort of some of the young guns at the moment. I think Katoa is turning into an elite second row in this competition. Joe Chan has been good since he's come to the first grade side. Wishart and Pezzett have always made the most of their chances. Warbrick's coming along nicely and developing nicely, and even their, you know, young bench of, you know, the likes of Bradley Lewis, McDonald, they've got so much potential as a football club, Melbourne, that you know, they're just improving week in and week out, and the more first grade these young players get, the better they'll be. So they may be the underdogs this week, but I think that Bellamy, the super coach, I think he's got his players raring to go at this point of the season, and it's hard to tip against the Storm, especially considering how inconsistent the Knights have been to start this year. So at points, they look as good as they did at the back end of last year, but at other times, they just seem to clock off and not being the football games for 80 minutes at the moment. So, yeah, I've got the Melbourne Storm in this one by 10, but I think they are a vulnerable Storm side, and if Newcastle can start the game off hot, I think it'll be tough for Melbourne to come back like they miraculously did in round two. So those are my tips for round three of the Telstra Premiership on Thursday night. I've got the Panthers winning the grand final rematch, my Friday night games. I've got the New Zealand Warriors winning their first game of the year against the Raiders, and the Rabbitohs likewise winning their first game against their arch rivals, the Roosters, which hopefully they do considering how much pressure they've been under. Super Saturday, I've got the Titans upsetting the Bulldogs in one of the worst games you'll see this year, unfortunately. I've got the Cowboys being too strong for the Dragons, and the Sharks annihilating the poor West Tigers. Sunday afternoon, I've got Parramatta winning the tight one against Manly, and the Melbourne Storm upsetting the Newcastle Knights. My bet in that game, in the Newcastle Knights-Melbourne game, you know, both sides, you know, the Storm have got some players missing, and the Knights obviously looking to start their season, I think, under 44.5. I think we won't see a huge amount of points in that game, but it will be tight throughout. So, you know, mainly Newcastle's attack will better, but I think that, you know, both sides won't be at their best in that game. So, under 44.5 for me. Those are Steve's NRL footy tips for round three. I hope you enjoyed it. It's obviously, there's some real high-quality games this weekend. There's some lesser games, you know, on paper this weekend, but I hope it's another good weekend of football. And I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll see you next week on Steve's NRL Footy Tips.